This program aired originally in 2004.
Hi, I'm Marian McPartland. Today my guest on Piano Jazz is violinist Regina Carter, whose brilliance, daring, and sheer spunk has led her to create music that's wonderfully listenable, as well as technically exciting. Welcome to Piano Jazz, young lady.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's great that you're here. Get to play some good old tunes.
Yeah, this will be a lot of fun. I've been looking forward to this.
I'm dying to ask you about your trip to Italy and the violin, Paganini's violin.
Well, it's definitely a fairy tale story. About 2 years ago, my pianist in my quintet, Vanna Gehrig, and his friend Andrea decided I should be the first non-classical player to play on this 250-year-old violin that belonged to the great Niccolo Paganini. And they had to go through all of the politicians and the community of Genoa and the Paganini Institute to convince them that if I played jazz on this violin, it wouldn't debase the value of the violin.
Oh, my goodness.
Which so many
Imagine
people believed.
It would increase it, I would think.
I would think so, too. And it's kept in the museum in Genoa and heavily guarded. And it was brought to me with a whole brigade of cars with flashing lights and police officers surrounding it at all times. And
well, where? Were you over there?
Yeah, I had to go to Genoa to play this violin there. And so I was escorted even on stage when I played the performance. The guards were there on stage with me. So it was a pretty nerve-wracking experience.
But it's a real happening. I mean, you must have had people work really hard to get it that people would agree to let you play the violin.
Yeah, Vanna and his friend Andrea were on the phone daily for about 3 months to get this whole concert prepared. And once, I think people, a lot of people came out of curiosity, but once they saw how much I respected the instrument and they knew my background as a musician and that I had studied European classical music and I knew the whole history of the violin and of Paganini, then they relaxed a little bit and actually allowed me to record my latest CD, Paganini After a Dream, with the violin. And one of the violin keepers said that I caused less stress to this violin than most classical players do, because in order to play jazz on violin, you usually have to use a much lighter bow stroke and less bow, so it doesn't stress the instrument.
I think that whole story is fantastic, and the fact that you recorded it's, congratulations,
thank
honey.
You. Thank you so much.
Now here we are with your violin. We're going to play some good old jazz tunes.
Right. And I don't have to worry about any armed guards coming
no,
in here. So.
No armed guard.
No.
So what would you like to open with?
There's a tune that I love. I heard Ella Fitzgerald sing it called The Music Goes Round and Round.
It's funny. I know that tune from about at least 50 or 60 years ago. I'm trying to think, it was an instrumental group that played it.
Huh.
I don't know how I learned it, but I don't think I've played it since. So let's see what happens.
Okay. Thank you.
Did you come to pick that tune? It's so funny.
It's, yeah, I listen, I have so many CDs, and I think one of my favorite vocalists for the past couple of years has been Ella Fitzgerald, and I just put on this CD that a friend had given me, and the tune was so cute, and I love the words to it. I push the middle valve down, and the music goes round and round, oh, till it comes out here. And I was thinking of one of my girlfriends who's a vocalist, and she teaches a lot of children, and I thought this would be a great tune to teach them about jazz.
Absolutely.
And it's just such a fun tune, and I decided, well, I'm going to have my band play this tune. And what's so funny is my mom always, I talk to her every day, and she'll ask what I'm doing, and I told her, I said, well, I have some new music, and I told her about this tune. And I said, well, you don't know it, Mom. It's a jazz tune. And she said, well, you don't know. And I said, the music goes round and round. And she started singing it. She goes, I know that tune. She went to hear someone when she was young, and they played that tune. So it was pretty funny.
You must have a million tunes in your repertoire. How do you learn them? Just play the record?
I usually just play the record. I find I like to learn tunes that way rather than reading them, because I remember them. When I hear them, I think because of the way I was taught to play violin was by ear as a child before I learned how to read. But and some tunes, as growing up, maybe watching television or taking dance classes, I would hear a tune and just remember it and not realize it until much later in my life that that was a jazz piece.
Well, let's have a go at another tune. What else can we do from your repertoire?
Well, speaking of a tune that I learned when I was a child, I danced my first tap recital to this piece, Chattanooga Choo Choo.
Really?
It's so funny. And again, I didn't know. It was just a piece that I danced to. And then later on, I realized it was a jazz piece.
Boy, you could be a vaudeville act, right? Tap a chorus, then play the violin and dance at the same time.
Right. Maybe I make some money there.
maybe that's something you can do one of these days. Oh, God. Well, all right, Chattanooga Choo Choo, great Johnny Mercer tune. So let's have at it, see where we go. Thank you. I don't remember playing that as an uptune. Huh. It's good like that, though.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Kind of a, I always think when I think of the tempo that, believe it or not, I still remember my part of my tap routine, and I kind of take the tempo from that. It's been ingrained in me for that many years.
Well, there's more to come with Regina Carter. Our program is made possible in part by a grant from the National Endowment for the Arts, which believes that a great nation deserves great art. I'm Marian McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz from NPR, on the web at pianojazz.npr.org. You're from Detroit, aren't you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You must have heard a lot of jazz. It's such a great jazz town.
Yeah, yeah, it really was. We never went out to clubs to hear jazz until I was old enough to drive myself. But just on the radio, I heard a lot of great music.
Who were your mentors years ago? Like, who did you first hear on the violin that inspired you to play that instrument?
Well, when I was young, and playing, I was playing classical music only, and my mentors were Itzhak Perlman and Yehudi Menuhin, and I actually had a chance to have master classes with them when I was quite young.
Oh, my goodness. I didn't realize you'd done great stuff like that. How
yeah.
were they as teachers?
Really warm and really giving. Itzhak would come, and there was a group of us that would play, and he would critique us. And he just seemed like a genuinely nice person, and his critiques were always positive. And when I was in high school, I had my class or master class with Yehudi Menuhin, and I remember my violin teacher at the time hated the fact that I just found out about jazz when I was about 15, and I was just so taken by the music and wanted to play jazz, and my teacher hated that, and he said, "You're going to ruin your career." And when we had our master class, he said to Yehudi, she wants to play jazz in a very derogatory manner. And Yehudi said, "Leave her alone." And he picked up his violin and played kind of a bluesy lick. And so he was really interested in jazz. So I felt like, hey, I've got one of the great masters on my side.
On your side, yeah. So, but did you get away from the classics altogether?
I did. Once I left college, I did. Actually, my second year of college. And only because the way the music was taught to me when I was at the conservatory, it was so strict, and it was almost like you said, like European classical music was above every other type of music, and I hated my teachers telling me that a certain piece had to be played a certain way every single time, and I thought, well, this would be boring if we're going to go hear five different violinists play the same piece, and they're all going to play the same. What's the point?
That's
so
true.
It really, I left that music completely until I found a teacher in New York once I moved here, and she said, "You don't hate that music, you just hate the way it was presented to you," and she helped me to find my way back to it and to appreciate it again.
That makes a lot of sense because, you could have wound up turned off from classical music forever.
Right,
by
yeah.
those other teachers. What do you think about us trying another tune?
Yeah. This next tune I'd like to do is, I recorded it on my new record, Paganini After a Dream, and it's from one of my favorite movies, Black Orpheus. And I've seen the movie 1,000 times, and the title piece, Black Orpheus, I like to play that.
Oh, I love that piece. Thank you. Gee, you really went off into the upper regions of the violin. It was beautiful. You know, it must be hard to play in so in tune in that upper area. I don't know what you call it. I should.
Actually, I was using the false harmonics. And on a piece like that, because you're fingering the harmonics, it's not just the open strings like this. You actually have to put a finger down, and sometimes the instruments don't want to speak. It depends on the weather, the room that you're in. So sometimes I go to play it, and it's not quite there. It's like, uh-oh.
Oh, boy.
But it was so much fun playing that piece, just because it's a piece that's been played a million different ways, and I just felt like we just kind of got lost within the music and let ourselves go, and just it was just really, really a I just really enjoyed that. It was like not thinking about it has to be like this, or it was just, we were just in it.
We were. And I really kind of felt myself just going along with you wherever you were going in the tune. It seems that kind of a tune, you can do that.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Well, maybe I should play something for you for a change.
That would be great. I'd love that.
What would be a good tune? Why don't you pick one?
Do you want to play a swing tune or a...
Something sort of slow.
Maybe how about either Come Sunday or Body and Soul or In a Sentimental Mood.
In a Sentimental Mood is... that's one of my all-time favorite tunes.
It's a beautiful tune, yeah.
Here we go, Sentimental Mood.
Thank you.
Thank you, Marion. That was really, really beautiful. I'm done now. I could be done for the rest of the day.
I'm glad you liked it. I think you're sort of inspiring me to play things a certain way because I don't know if you play in different keys, but I like to change key with things I'm doing. I don't know why I don't often play that tune in F. Suddenly I found myself in F, but you can play the same tune in another key and it can come off entirely differently.
Right, yeah.
A whole other feeling.
It can really change the mood. It's so interesting because a lot of times I have to really think about what key I'm playing and I just put my finger down and that's what key we're in. And I remember playing a tune a couple weeks ago, No Greater Love, with a horn player, and I just started playing the tune and he goes, "Since when do you play that tune?" And I don't even know, it was some odd key, string player key. And I just thought, I just put my finger down and that's the key. But
well, can you do that? Can you put your finger down and play whatever key you're starting?
Most tunes I can. There are some tunes that I can't do that with yet, which I should be able to do that with everything. There's some tunes, though, I realize I've gotten, my hand position is very comfortable in a certain key. So I'm trying to break myself out of that and force myself to play those tunes in other keys.
Do you practice a lot?
I don't really have a lot of time to practice because I spend so much time on the road. But when I do have off time, I do. And I still take lessons when I have downtime.
Oh, do you?
Oh, yeah, yeah. But even sometimes if I'm just hanging out with musicians on the road, I might ask them to show me some things.
Boy, you're really involved in the music all the way, aren't you?
Yeah, yeah. And I think I have been since I was a child. You know, I was just really involved and had such a structured life that it's real. I don't know anything else, really, you know.
Well, that's good, a structured life. A lot of people have such totally unstructured lives.
Yeah.
They don't know where the heck they're going. I think it's good.
Yeah.
Well, there's more in a minute. My guest is Regina Carter. For more information about Regina or other Piano Jazz guests, visit our website at pianojazz.npr.org. So in your Detroit days, you were with the symphony.
Not the Detroit Symphony. The Detroit Symphony Youth Orchestra. It was a training orchestra. Yeah, yeah. And I was the youngest member when I joined. My violin teacher at the time thought it would be a great experience for me and just to see what that world was really about. And it was so intimidating, I remember. And but the greatest thing I learned, sometimes we play these pieces and I didn't understand them or sometimes I wasn't thrilled about certain pieces or I'd say, well, this piece sounds like noise here or this. And my teacher explained the pieces to me when they were written, what was going on politically. And so then it created a picture. So then when you would hear the music, I understood what it represented, and it made me enjoy it more and be able to really dive into it. And from that, I learned that it's really important. A lot of times, people hear a certain music and they might say, "I don't like it." Maybe their ears aren't ready to handle it, or maybe they don't understand what's going on. And especially in jazz, I find that non-jazz audiences tend to not like the music or say they don't because they don't understand what's going on stage. What is improvisation? How do you know when to stop and when the other person starts? And is the melody written out? How do you learn it? So I like to do a lot of clinics or even just explain during the concert about the piece and maybe when it was written or what the words are. And I find that people then, you bring your audience in more and they enjoy it more. So that experience I had with the youth orchestra and that teacher really helped me to learn a lot that I even use now.
I think that's a really good thing. Well, do you do much teaching with kids?
Yeah, I do. When I'm on the road, a lot of times we go into schools. all grades from kindergarten all the way up through university level. And some are music students, some aren't. And then sometimes we'll do master classes for just the general audience, which is really important as well.
And what kind of things do you play for them as examples?
Well, I'll take a piece that I'm sure, with children, I'll take a piece like Old MacDonald, because I know they all know that. And we play it through, and then I say, okay, now I'm going to improvise, and I explain that that means making up a story on the spot. And they hear that the harmonies underneath are still the same, but I improvise, and maybe I'll play a little bit of the melody so they still hear it, and then move away from it, and then come back into it, so they really get a sense of it.
That's really fantastic. There should be so much of that, more of that in all the schools.
Yeah, I think it's important because, you know, it sounds like a cliche, but those young people, that's our future audiences. And if we don't educate them and expose them to this music ourselves, they're not going to get it anywhere else.
Boy, that is so true. It's wonderful. I hope you keep it up.
Oh, I will. I love it. I get a lot of joy out of it. I really do.
Well, what tune are we going to do next?
I Can't Believe You're in Love with Me.
Oh, that is an ancient tune.
I like these tunes because I
know you
them
do,
so,
but they're yeah. fun. Nobody else yeah. plays them. Well, at least they're tunes that I can play, I think.
You play everything, Marion. I don't think I could ever name a tune that you couldn't play.
Well, don't try, because you probably wouldn't have to go very far. So, all right. Now, is this a medium tempo tune?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Thank you. It's funny, I just remember where I heard that tune years ago, played by another violinist, Joe Venuti.
Wow, I would love to hear that. I only know, how do I know it? I think Joe Williams, I'd heard him sing it, but oh my God, that would be phenomenal to hear Joe Venuti play that.
Yeah, he and I recorded together in Paris.
Wow.
He was a fun player. You must have heard some records by
him.
Oh
yeah, yeah, I have some records, I sure do. Phenomenal violinist.
There were some other guys that were great. Eddie South.
And Stuff Smith, of
Stuff
course.
Smith.
Yeah, yeah.
Ray Nance,
yeah.
There's really a lot of jazz violinists when you think about it.
And Claude Fiddler Williams, who's still around and
who?
Playing. Claude Fiddler Williams.
Oh, yes. He's about 95.
96, I think, now. He and Johnny Frigo, I think they're the same age.
Johnny Frigo, yes, we had him on the show. Did you ever think of doing some, like, violin duets?
I would love to do that, to record that, you know. I had the opportunity to play with both Claude Fiddler and Johnny Frigo, but I went on the Three Generations of Jazz Violin Tour, it was called, and Johnny Frigo was on the gig, and Joe Kennedy Jr., actually, another jazz violinist.
Yeah. I love Joe. He's great.
Yeah, and so it was just so much fun to not only play with those guys, but to hear all the stories they had, too.
Oh, I can imagine.
Yeah, lots of entertainment.
Well, you'll have plenty of stories.
I hope so.
When you grow up.
Right. I know, I wait for those great stories.
Well, there's more coming up. My guest is Regina Carter. Our program is made possible in part by the Friends of Piano Jazz. I'm Marian McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz from NPR. You played in some funk and rock bands, I read somewhere.
Yeah. When I, in high school, actually, I played in I guess it was like a rock band or pop band called Brainstorm. And on their records, they had all these string arrangements. And so on live, though, I was the only string player, but I kind of would pick and choose what parts I wanted to play. And that was a lot of fun. I got to tour with them in the summer. And then when I moved to New York, I joined the Black Rock Coalition and played with Greg Tate's band, Women in Love, and played with
people. I never heard of that one.
Yeah, it was a lot. It was a very different experience for me. I remember the electric bassist, Michelle Indigio Cello, was in the band. That was before she was a really big star. And just I met a lot of people and just different kind of music. So I put myself in every kind of situation, because when I moved to New York, people said, be careful of the style of music you play, because people are going to peg you as that style of musician. And so I thought, well, then I'm not going to play just one thing. I'm going to spread myself and just have all kinds of experiences.
Why, that's very, very a very clever thing for you to do. And it's great if you can play in different styles. Like, have you done country music as well?
I've only touched on it. Not a real gig. That would I'd have to spend some time with. But I actually played a couple of tunes with Dolly Parton. And there was another woman.
With Dolly Parton?
Yeah.
No
that
kidding.
That was a lot of fun, yeah.
That must have been fun.
Oh, yeah. She's just such a sweet lady.
Yeah, I'm sure she is.
Yeah.
Well, what will we do? Let's go to the other extreme and do some Monk.
Yeah,
what do you
Blue
think?
Monk, yeah.
Blue Monk?
Yeah.
Okay, that's a good
tune.
One.
Yeah.
Thank you. was fun doing it that way.
Yeah, yeah. And I thought it would just be different sometimes, you know, since it's just the two of us. So it's not always one course here, one course there, Trey.
Sure.
Just to do something different. And it's fun to have a conversation on a musical level as well.
Absolutely. No, we could have done some more of that next time.
Yeah.
I've really been enjoying playing with you on all different things that we've done, like old tunes, beautiful ballad,
yeah.
Bossa Nova, and you know what would make a really good last tune? Softly As in the Morning Sunrise.
Great idea. I
That's
love that.
A terrific
too.
Tune.
Yeah. Okay.
That was terrific.
That was fun.
Mm-hmm.
You've been listening to Piano Jazz with Marian McPartland and her guest, Regina Carter. Join us each week at this time as Marian McPartland brings you other outstanding jazz artists for conversation and improvisation. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina ETV and Radio. The producer is Sherry Hutchinson, recording engineer Duke Marcos, assistant recording engineer Chinook Kang, mastering engineer David Mitchell, production coordinator David Lyon. The executive producer is Elaine Freeman. If you wish to contact us, our email address is pj@scetv.org. Our postal address is 1101 George Rogers Boulevard, Columbia, South Carolina, 29201. For information about the artist and music selections heard on Piano Jazz, visit our website, pianojazz.npr.org. There you'll also find a link to our free weekly Piano Jazz Shorts preview podcast.